Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
Oh.
And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please, just get on with the show. Yes.
Hello, and welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. My name is Joe, and tonight I'll be DMing the next episode of Curse of Strahd. I am joined here by four fantastic players, and it is now official. Lisa Lee is a member of the How We Roll crew, so congratulations, Lisa.
Hey.
Hey. Woo.
We are going to do a very brief introduction because all the characters are now level 6, so we're just going to find out if there's been any changes to their characters and their powers. I'm going to do a bit of a recap because obviously for everyone listening, it's only been a week. For us, it's been like a month longer, maybe, I feel.
Maybe a little longer.
But anyway, like so much happened in the last episode. I really want to kind of touch upon that. I mean, just for the players. And then we're going to jump in and find out what's going to happen. So anyway, let's start off with Owen. Owen, who are you playing and what have you done to your character on your upgrade to level 6?
I'm playing everyone's favorite halfling rogue, the face of the crew, the charming, irresistible Seth Thorngage. You know, guys want to be him. Women also want to be him. He's that good.
Goats are terrified of him.
I leveled up to level 6 effectively as a rogue. It gave me my hit points, which is a 5 hit points, and expertise. So I got to take an extra proficiency bonus in 2 of my proficiencies. And I took persuasion and stealth.
I'm surprised that you didn't take perception, because you every time you tell us that you've got a -1 to perception.
In other news, I may or may not have spilled some water on my character sheet and had to redo my character, and may have slightly changed my base stats. So my
18 to wisdom, everything, it was so weird.
My wisdom is no longer 0, and I also realized I should have proficiency in perception as a rogue, and I had quite a lot of my skills under spec'd.
Yeah.
So I now have a +3 in perception.
And we've been getting tons of letters about it. I just didn't tell you because it was just more. Anyway. Next up, we have Niall. Niall, who are you playing and what have you done to your character on his rise to level 6?
So I am playing Voron Elar, a wizard, high elf, and I'm level 6 now. So the only real thing I got from that was 2 new spells, for which I've picked Layman's Tiny Hut, which is handy because it's a ritual, which means I don't have to have it prepared in my spell book for every game.
Nice.
And it just 10 times longer casting time, so it's still only 10 minutes to cast. And I got slow because Joe likes to throw a lot of people at us with lots of multiple attacks and high ACs, so that should be able to help us out a little bit, I hope, in the future. All I need is some molasses and I'm good to use the spell.
So, I mean, depending what choices you make today, that might be a very, very caddy choice, but we'll find out, depending. Again, Vallaki is like a tangled web. I have no idea where you're going to end up, so it's going to be interesting to see tonight. And next up, we have Lisa Lee, who's now an official member of the How We Roll podcast crew. Hopefully you've checked out her interview, which I now realise at time of release of this was probably months ago. Anyway, Lisa, do you want to tell us about your character and how she's leveled up to level 6?
Viesa is a Circle of the Shepherd Druid and Cleric. And she has leveled up and she's got improved beast shape and I got 1 more spell. And I don't remember. Do I remember which spell I grabbed? I don't remember. It was weeks ago.
It's a while, like, because you were so organized. You, like, I think you texted me back the same day. I'm like, I've done my character. I'm like, brilliant. I don't think we're going to play for 6 weeks, unfortunately.
It was like housekeeping done. I did it before I forgot. But yeah.
And is Viesa half elf or elf?
She is an Eladrin. So she is an elf Eladrin. From
she's
the
like
Feywild.
Above us.
Yeah. My memory is
she's,
a little hazy.
She's kind of, she's kind of a wild child. Not better. Just quirky and different.
Just not as bad.
Oh, I probably should have mentioned that my character is a zombie still.
Still. We're hoping to solve that soon.
Can we? Yeah, we have to solve that.
That was discussed in the last episode.
We solved part of it. We got the big blue thing away, so we got half it done. Getting there. It's a process.
Step by step. Did my hair come back after I like stopped being a big bald blue monster, or am I just permanently bald?
You lost your hair?
I'm going to let you make that choice yourself as a character.
You know,
okay,
what?
Just be wispy.
Nah, the hair is gone because like it was falling out in patches anyway. I'm not so, looking good these days.
Last, but by no means least, which is my catchphrase apparently, we have Aram from Godsfall, a neon rival. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Grayson and the incredible things that he's managed to gather as he's journeyed to level 6?
Well, Grayson is a cat who has been awakened and is on a quest for revenge to kill the people who killed the person who awoke him. And on the quest to level 6, he is a monk of the shadow, which makes sense for a cat. And he can now do, he can run, first of all. His base movement speed is 100 feet now. I know, it's ridiculous. And he can jump from like one shadow to the next within 60 feet as a bonus action, and then gets advantage on his first attack. So he's like leaps, so, you know, you'll just see like a little flash of white teeth, and he'll just pounce out of a shadow.
I'm quite sure that my cat at home can do that.
Yeah, right. It's nothing special. He's just a cat. It's like it's a monk ability.
So, an awful lot happened in the last episode. So if you bear with me, I'm just going to do a bit of a recap. And I do apologize for listeners at home. Normally I bring in my office chair, and I completely forgot to do that. So if you hear me creaking, it's because I'm sat on our really crappy kitchen chairs. So I apologize, but unfortunately I can't really change that, so sorry. So, last time on How We Roll podcast, our heroes approached the walled town of Valaki to find Pulsor Varix's body had been thrown into the river outside the town. A quick conversation with the guards revealed that Eric's skeletal nature was revealed as he tried to enter the town. Details were sparse, but it seems clear that the captain of the guard, a demonic man named Iznek Strazny, has captured Eric, Soldar and Yevgeny and taken them somewhere. With a very clever persuasion on VS's part, the heroes managed to enter their fog-filled, miserable town. They passed a stockyard that held a carnival wagon owned by someone called Rictavio, and they also entered a strange toy shop owned by a man named Blinsky, who had a monkey. Remembering her reading from Madame Eva, Viesa questioned both the man and the monkey, but discovered that his real owner was none other than Rictavio, and he can be found at the Blue Water Inn. They were just about to leave the toy shop when Grayson happened upon a doll of startling realism who looked exactly like the missing Irina. Blinsky was very nervous and loath to talk about it, but when pushed and intimidated by the party, he revealed that Izek, the captain of the guard, forces him to make the dolls every week in Irina's likeness. I think they found out that he dreams of this woman every week. Puzzled, but keen to move on, the party continued through the town. They entered the town square, where a rough gallows was being constructed near a number of town folks who were locked in wooden stocks with papier-mâché donkey heads forced upon them. As they passed by, our heroes recognised one of the prisoners to be either Soldar or Yevgeny, one of the wolf hunters, but obviously with the donkey heads upon them, they couldn't really tell which one. They were looking quite suspicious. Lots of people were paying attention to them, so they kind of hurried on. They hastened to the church, an ancient structure with beautiful stained glass windows depicting a mystical story of knights and dragons, wizards and dark gods, all based around this central image of a golden temple, or maybe an amber temple. The church, though, or the cathedral, I think it was actually surrounded by beggars, hungry townsfolk looking for food. So the party kind of snuck round the back of the cathedral to find an alternative entrance. There, Grayson sneaked in through the vestry and saw the head priest, a man they found out was called Lucian Petrovich, talking to another man, a familiar dark figure who the party had seen before. A few episodes ago, they saw him talking to the hags at the old bone grinder. The Father Lucian was telling this man that someone had broken into the church the previous night. The man left and the party arrived. They spoke to Father Lucian. They helped him feed the beggars. If I'm remembering rightly, I think we had like a big montage of trestle tables and soup making and a big argument about the real uses of Prestidigitation, which none of us could say.
Yes. That was a great scene.
Meanwhile, Grayson kind of started to explore the cathedral, kind of catching rats and things. But he discovered in a back room where there's this kind of ancient altar, someone had ripped up the floorboards, and it looked like they'd taken something from beneath. And we left last episode with Voron and Grayson showing the super red gem to Father Lucien and asking him if it could be used to resurrect Voron. And I think, if I'm right, the last words that Father Lucien said as he saw the gem was, "That's the Martakov gem. Where did you get it?" And we'll start the scene there.
"I plucked it from the head of a giant skeleton."
"Oh my gosh. Then Strahd has had it all along. That is a most powerful artifact. I have only seen the like once before. Do you know of the Martakovs?"
No, we do not.
Like, I think it's a name that's come up before.
Yes, we do.
Kind of.
So, has Jorba
Drinking said? The name sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you much about it.
Oh, those Markarkovs.
So, Saf, your feather token was given by a man called Darian Martakov to the Burgomaster of Womford after they helped him. And I think the Wolf Hunters might have told you that there's Martakovs who work and own the Blue Water Inn.
That seems like an important detail. They're pro bono, fair enough.
But they're quite small details. I'm not sure how much they've come up previously.
Sure.
Can you tell us more about these gems or these Martakovs?
Well, not really, but many years ago, I'd say many decades ago, a young Darian Martakov came to me and he carried two gems like this. Similar things, but different colours. He said he found them while exploring an ancient ruin high up in the mountains beyond the Selenka Pass. I examined them and discovered that they channel the power of the land and they can create life. He took them away, and although I don't know what he did with them, soon after that meeting, his family began to supply all of Barovia with food and wine. So maybe he's used them somewhere up at the Wizard of the Wines. That saying, we've not heard from them for at least a week, and no food has come from them.
Maybe that's in relation to Strahd having this gem. Maybe he took it from there.
Maybe.
So if we give you this gem, you can use it to raise food and help those who have been wounded, or perhaps have died.
Whoa. Okay, let's not get crazy with giving away gems. I mean, together we can work with a gem to help with our gem.
He seems as noble as any we have found. It is the only place that we have seen that has any form of structure that is actually helping people. For us to carry this around would do us nothing. This gentleman, perhaps, can do more.
If you've taken this from the demon Strahd,
and there's the echo of thunder in the distance, and he glances round tearfully, sort of scaredly, he goes,
"I don't wish it in my church. We offer, was a sanctuary, the only sanctuary, maybe the whole of Barovia. The last thing I want to do is attract," and he kind of looks around again and says, "Strahd's attention."
"Then we will take it with us. But before that, can you use it to restore our friend?"
I've investigated the gem. I know it's a clerical magic that powers it. Could you use anything to help me regain my living form again?"
He kind of holds it up, and you see that within it is this really bright red glow, but there seems to be some sort of power leaking from the crack that Grayson made when defeating the skeletal colossus. And he goes, "The gem is damaged. It'll likely heal on its own, for that is its power. And maybe I could use it to, as you say, resurrect you, bring you back from the life, and cut you off from the dark powers that are trying to control your spirit."
but it would likely leave me weak, and right now I cannot be weak. And he looks really worried and scared.
Father Lucien, if we could repair the gem to its initial state, would that help, or could you do anything then, or would it still leave you weak?
My godly magic, I pray for power, and am gifted it in the morning as the sun rises. To resurrect you, I would have to use much of that magic to power the gem and to resurrect you, and it would leave me defenseless, and more importantly, the cathedral defenseless. People come here at night for defense, and until last night, the cathedral itself was sanctified. However, come, let me show you.
And he opens up a side door, and where you see like a dark passage leading down towards the room, Grayson, that you know something's been taken.
Yes, this is all new information to me. I was not snooping. If there was a way, priest, Snoop Troop, if there was a way, priest, that we could simply defend your sanctuary for 24 hours in exchange for you helping our friend, and perhaps also help you solve this mystery, we would be very willing to do that.
Or is there, in your knowledge, an alternative person who might have the ability to do so, to restore me to my living form?
The first thing that worries me is, by you being here, you have painted a huge target on the Church of St. Andrel. If you have angered the devil, he may come for you tonight.
And he looks out the window where the sun is setting.
And I fear you may be bringing him down upon us in mere hours' time. And also, I cannot say why, but there is a reason why we may have made ourselves a target anyway, and why the bones might have disappeared last night. But as to your question, wizard, there is another place you may find help. There is an abbot in Kresk, a day's travel to the west. He may have the power.
Wait, but you're saying you're in trouble tonight? That Strahd is coming after you this evening?
Maybe.
The bones that were stolen, what use would anyone have for them?
Consecration and deconsecration.
Yes.
That man that was here when we came in,
Milnov.
We saw
the
him.
Gardener and helper.
We saw him earlier in our travels at the windmill at the top of the hill back east. And he was giving something to the hags, looking for something. Could he have possibly stolen these bones from you? Or would those hags have any use for them?
He looks really worried and sort of thinks,
I'm not sure. Milyov is a good man. He's a... He gives up food for the beggars outside, the citizens for food. His wife is ill and daughters were ill, and he looks after them with dedication. I cannot believe he would do such a thing. Nor do I believe he knows about the bones. I believe only I knew such a thing.
And he's like, at this point, you've kind of been talking. He's led you down the corridor to this really ancient room. And at the back is this altar. And you look closer, it looks more like a sarcophagus. Lying upon the top is this really serene figure of St. Andrel. And below, the floorboards have been smashed open. Something's been taken.
Lucien, father, sir, why is Strahd attacking here? What have you done to enrage him? Why is he targeting? Is he targeting Vallaki? Is he just targeting the cathedral? Why does he keep coming?
He looks really uncomfortable. Goes, maybe I misspoke. I think, but if you have angered Strahd, you will bring him down upon us.
I don't think you did misspeak.
Yeah.
I mean, why else would you sanctify this area? Why else would it be protected? Why else would it be a sanctuary? A sanctuary from what and why?
Don't try to blame us for a mistake that you may have done yourself.
Can I? So as I'm doing it, like I probably didn't roleplay it well enough, but like I'm trying to be like, look, I mean, why? Tell us. We can help to kind of persuade and coax it out of him, which would be a skill check.
Perception, I guess.
No, persuade. Got that.
So yeah, give us a persuade.
Cool. Now that I know what my character sheet actually has, that's a plus 9.
Guidance, ow. That too. I can. Yeah.
When you actually know how to roll a character, it's great.
Guidance is always helpful.
22. Oh.
That's a decent roll.
Okay. He says, it was not sanctified by me. And he kind of looks to the sarcophagus, then points up to where you see this stained glass window with this beautiful mural. Millennia ago, before Strahd came here, before the land of Barovia was taken by the mists, this land was a different place, and a man named St. Andrel died here, and giving his life to save others, he sanctified the cathedral. And it was a holy place, even then. But without his bones, the cathedral loses its protection. But I will offer you this. If you can find the bones, if you can return them here, not only will I give you sanctuary, but I will use the power of the gem to resurrect you back to where you were before.
That sounds like a fair deal.
Do you have any lead on where these bones may have gone? Any at all?
No, but I'm sure there's clues in this room.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Viesa has never really, I think, been in a cathedral. I mean, her all of her holy experience has been Melora, which is nature and God and goodness, and then Saloon, which is the night and travelers and kind of night creatures. So she's kind of in love with looking at all of this stuff because the colors are like the Feywild where she's from, but it's new and different. She's kind of like bizarrely kind of softly twirling, kind of looking around at all of this stuff. Right. And
like you're in your own private Disney movie.
Like I'm in my own complete
Princess Viesa.
Yeah, I'm like slowly just kind of taking it all in. Like it's a little teeny Disneyland for me. But then I want to ask him, I can I help you? I have a little bit of magic that feels like this place, but it's a little different. And if I can help, I don't know if you know Melora or if... Do you know Saloon? Saloon?
He looks kind of really pleased and said, I would be glad to take the help of the Moon Goddess and the nature god that you stand for, but unfortunately it would still require many of my spell slots, and I need to defend the
for fuck's sake.
What's a spell slot?
But when you say you're looking at the colours, did you mean the stained glass windows?
Yeah.
So you think they might tell a story. Now they've not been clean for many years. But when you're kind of looking around, like thinking about the other rooms you've been in, you think there actually might be a narrative. And you're kind of near the end right now with in the window. You see this priest being struck down by this dark power. So if you want to kind of like explore the church and try and piece together some of this narrative.
I totally would like to explore. That's yes, as you twirl, everything.
Just like from one stained glass to the next. That's excellent.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
So what I'll ask you to do, so give it a few minutes, then I'll ask you to roll a perception.
Okay.
And if you want to use guidance, that's fine as well, and we'll see what you've managed to dig up.
Okay.
In the meantime, can I ask Voron and Grayson to make me perception checks?
I can do that.
I can do that too. I got a 14.
21.
Okay, you've noticed, Voron, that Saf has like slumped down on one of the steps and seems unusually quiet. Grayson, you can see that he is like visibly sweating but also shivering, and his skin is beginning to turn like a red, like it's covered in a rash.
Ooh.
And Saf, you are beginning to feel seriously ill, and as you look up, you see that the sun is setting.
Saf, are you okay? What's going on?
I'm not feeling too good, guys. I when you say I'm feeling ill, like nauseous ill, or
like
I have some sort of serious virus.
Yeah, the beginning of flu. Like you, I'm not going to give you a level of exhaustion yet, but yeah, there's you feel that you're going to be incapacitated.
Oh, the word "yet" felt real good.
Heard
I
that?
Oh boy,
heard that.
I can help my friend, and Grayson darts outside, grabs mouthfuls of grass.
No, don't
and runs back and just is like piling up grass. Eat this, you will feel better.
I'm so happy. I thought you were going to say mouthfuls of water and just spits on him to cool him down. That's what I was expecting there.
Cats know how to make themselves feel better. They know.
Eat this pile of grass.
Father Lucien, can you tell anything that might be wrong with him? Is he okay?
Seth picks up the grass because that's how bad he's feeling, just looking at it, thinking.
So, Father Lucien kind of approaches you, like feels your head and goes, "This doesn't feel natural." And he kind of reaches up and draws in this kind of holy light, and he begins to glow. And the effect you're kind of reminded of is like the first light of dawn seems to be glowing in his fingers. And he touches Saf and it kind of extends over his whole body. And then Father Lucien kind of sags for a moment and goes, "No, it is beyond my power to help you. Whatever has taken hold of you, young man, is more powerful than something I can solve."
So I may have made a deal. So just a second for real talk. I have this and take out... Whenever you discuss how it's packaged, I assume it's like
it was just
badly wrapped with twine.
Wrapped in brown paper or something.
Like yesterday, last week's newspaper was just crumpled up as badly and like wrapped in twine. Like, I got this off some real nice ladies and I promised to deliver them. And what was the sentence? They gave like some sort of vague threat. Not quite a threat, but like real passive aggressive.
You had to deliver it to Lady Fiona within a certain amount of time, otherwise you would regret it, basically.
I think they put it nicer than that. Because they were nice ladies.
Does the name Morgantha sound any bit familiar to you, Father Lucien?
Let me roll my history.
He got a 3.
No, not sure if I know that one.
I mean, like, how bad can it be? I mean, I need to deliver this to... What can you tell me about Lady Fiona Twacker? I mean, I got to deliver this. And as he goes to reply, can I just start unwrapping whatever this is?
Okay. As soon as you rip the the paper, you take a d6 points of damage. So you take 1 point of damage, and it feels like you're actually burning, like you've put your hand into a fire.
Can I use an uncanny dodge to it?
No.
Have a point and rounds up to
you
1.
You can't dodge anyway, a curse. Grayson is like hunched over with his hair up at this thing.
And hissing.
Like Grayson. Grayson feels all the evil out of this and is not happy.
If you have made a deal with the Fae, then I advise you to go through with the deal unless it's going to bring harm on others. Lady Fiona Wachter is one of the town matriarchs. Her family and the family of the current burgomaster go back many hundreds of years to the town's founding. I don't know the history exactly, but she certainly desires power. And she speaks out openly against him and his madness.
And he looks really uncomfortable speaking out against him and says,
"My sister is the burgomaster's wife, and I fear that although she is a good woman, and at least growing up she had a kind head upon her shoulders, is being led astray by his madness."
Wait, so like with all this happening and me like really not feeling too hot and after getting burnt by this... jar or whatever I'm opening, can I like just like really like I'm really invested in what he's saying, like, and I want to make sure that he's not trying to have us on or pull a fast one, like, so can I just like insight basically?
Yeah,
is what I'm trying to get at.
Insight roll.
So with a +3 I got a 20.
Wow. Yeah, he seems to genuinely a very very trustworthy, kind man trying to do the best, like doesn't want to speak out wrongly against people but also recognizes that people are not just human, have human faults, but some people go beyond that, and he really, really dislikes the burgomaster.
Hey, who are you calling human? There is literally no humans here, is there?
No. People.
Humanity? Like, halflingity?
It is kind of arrogant, actually, when you think about a group of people that would have multiple races that are thinking humanoids. To say humanity is a pretty human-centric, arrogant thing to say in that society, you know?
Check your human privilege, buddy. All right, Lucien.
I'm not even a person. I wasn't even a person that was turned into a cat. I was literally a cat that was just given sentience. That's why Grayson thinks that his way of life works now in this, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're not people.
We're now going on a social warrior crusade through a church. They're all trying to put the little guy down.
He says, I and he kind of glances up as if sort of hearing something, and goes, I need to go. But you all seem trustworthy, and I'm willing to engage you to return the bones. If you can do it as soon as possible, we may still yet have time. But I'll give you freedom of the church if you want to explore the area and look for clues.
Investigation.
In the main area, I need to finish a few things.
Thank you, priest.
And I'm still twirling and looking.
So they're in like a back room, so you'll have probably gone into the main room to look at the main windows, but you'll be kind of around. So
like he's walked out of the room, right?
Yeah. But he's like only like a door, like he's gone through a door into a corridor, like all kind of like low stone archways, and he's gone through another door, like he's literally a couple of, you know, 10 feet away in the main room of the cathedral.
Grayson would just start to sniff around immediately. Oh, I'm sorry. He'll listen. He'll stop and listen. Good.
Well, it actually works great if you're like guys, okay, okay. Like gently nudges the cat with his toes. Like, guys, right. I don't know about you. I mean, look, this guy seems reasonably genuine. I mean, he's a little frenetic, but look, I've been around a lot of liars and, you know, cheats and this guy, bad dudes. This guy is not one of them. So I think he seems pretty genuine. Maybe we should help him.
I agree.
We should help him, Saf, but also, first things first, you need to get yourself sorted.
Bear with me. I'm in a bad way, and look, everybody loves this guy. Two thumbs, points to himself. So, like, we're going to need somewhere to hide from Strahd, and, like, these bones seem like our best bet to, like, set up base camp in this place.
Also agreed.
So I think
it's kind of pretty. Yeah.
I think some of us need to try and find the bones, and if, you know, I'm going to try and find Lady Fiona Twachter.
Whacker?
Yeah. My handwriting is terrible, apparently. I mean, if somebody wants to come and help me, that's fine. But we need to at least have two or three of us looking for the bones.
If there's anything I can find, it's a corpse. I shall look for these bones.
Jesus Christ. I'll help you. I'll help you look for the bones. I can help a little bit in that way. I can do that.
I'm not letting you go anywhere by yourself.
Yeah.
That's just a recipe for trouble right there.
I would agree. We can each watch each other's backs, but we can cover twice as much distance.
Mm-hmm.
So Seth quickly jumps up on the shoulders of Aran. It's a plan! And he's like really not feeling well and just dizzily falls off his shoulders.
Oh no!
So
if you were a cat, you would have landed on your feet.
So can we agree to maybe meet back here at sundown?
What time is it right now?
Sure.
Yeah, what time is it?
About an hour off sundown.
From sundown.
Perfect. So we'd spend the next...
We'll take an hour to, you know, go out and investigate a bit, and then ideally meet back, assuming we haven't all died.
Before we do, let's just have Lisa's character coming back. So, Lisa, would you give me your perception? In fact, I think it would be investigation roll.
Oh, that was a... I rolled you a non-natural 20 on...
Wow, okay.
Nicely done.
From your kind of sort of 10, 15 minutes looking around, it seems that the story starts with a group of silver knights led by an enormous silver dragon. And they seem to kind of come into the valley. There's then a titanic battle with the knights and the dragon against this army of darkness, like orcs and goblins and like darker creatures of shadow and undead. And that army seems to be led again by like some sort of wizard, but the way he's depicted in the symbols that you've seen paint him more like a demigod than a wizard. At some point, it seems that you kind of get back to this room and the St. Andrel, is that right, the word I used before? St. Andrel sacrifices himself to take away much of the demigod's power. And then the army is bolstered by the arrival of 8 wizards, 8 archmages who join the battle against darkness. And they manage to defeat this god by destroying one of it, or in the battle, one of the demigod's hands is destroyed and one of his eyes is destroyed, and then he's locked away in the Amber Temple, this golden temple up in the hills, up in the mountains.
Oh my goodness.
And that's kind of as much as you've really managed to gather.
And there's 2 gems that were found?
They are depicted on there. In fact, there's three gems found. The red one that you hold, and then there's a blue one and a green one. And they seem to have been created by these eight archmages, this circle of eight.
Interesting. And can I do a history roll to see if any of this is familiar to me?
Yep, you definitely can.
Or Arcana?
Arcana would do it.
Fuck, it's took a 9. That's with a plus 7.
Okay, so...
Guidance!
No, it's so low.
It's yeah.
So low.
That's why.
So you're not sure, but a few names kind of like jump into your mind. So like you've just learned a spell. Is it right? Leomund's Tiny Hut?
Yep.
And you think Leomund, well, he was part of the Circle of Eight. But with your 9, that's all you can think, is that a lot of spells that are really kind of like the first spells that are created, some of the most powerful spells that people even use today, were created by people in the Circle of Eight. And you obviously know Leomund is one of these wizards, these archmages.
All right, cool.
So you think you've heard stories about this before, but with your 9, you're like, yeah, I read it, but I can't really remember any details.
So this is a tale that, by the sounds of it, would have spread past, beyond Barovia, like
it
across...
It sounds like it was probably a situation before Barovia became an alternate plane, so to say. So there's like history to this land that doesn't just link back to Strahd.
Yeah, this is way before Strahd. Like, Strahd's not depicted on any of the windows at all.
It was just some bad...
Yeah, it's back in other things.
So at this point, after like I come through and shake off a potential concussion of falling off Varon's shoulders, can I just kind of... So what are you guys looking at? And just look up to see... They're all pointing at this. Like, what is this thing?
And I'll kind of relay the story that I see to all of them.
So I'm, believe it or not, a rogue. I've got a great cover story. But other than that, like, I essentially want to know... I might know too much about the whole history side of things, but, you know, crazy, really, really rare and potentially expensive loot I might know about.
Okay, so give me... Yeah, have you got history?
I have history. I have Arcana, maybe? They're actually all trees.
Arcana burnt me already,
Owen.
Don't try it.
I was trying to think... I thought it used to be an appraise skill, but that might be a different game. I'm thinking of completely.
It's probably one of
I'll go with... history. So with a plus 3, I rolled a 20. I am rolling 20 and above all day.
Okay.
All days.
So you haven't been trained in the same way that Voron has. So you haven't gone through all these kind of ancient magical texts, and you haven't heard the same things. But a few more names come into mind. Like, you think there might be a member of the Circle of Eight called Mordekainen, and there might be a member of the Circle of Eight called Melf. And you're not entirely sure of any more, but then you're thinking about dragons and you're thinking about what you've seen, and you remembered back in the village of Barovia there was a mural on the wall of a silver dragon. And then you think, hang on, when we were running through the dungeons of Castle Ravenloft, Grayson saw the skull of a dragon, and as you passed it by, its eyes glowed silver for a moment.
Well, I'm not going to recall that. I ran faster. Yes, yeah, we're not going back there.
We were like, oh, no, Haunted Dragonhead. No.
Grayson didn't even entertain the idea of getting near that.
Even if silver dragons are one of the nice ones. No. Probably the nicest ones.
Can Grayson not just, like, flash his way back? Like, you know, he moves 100 feet a second. Like, can he not just, like, zoop, and, like, yeah, it was definitely a silver dragon.
Not the flash. Close, but not quite. If there's lots of shadows, maybe, but it's going to take a while because it's only 60-foot increments.
And as an Eladrin, that dragon just looks like the coolest pet in the world to me. I'm like, dragon? Could I ride it? Oh, that would be amazing.
I think the words dragon and pet don't really go in the same sentence together.
I suppose being inside a dragon while it flies is kind of like riding it.
True.
Okay, so while we're here, can I start investigating the actual room itself for, like, signs of who may have broken in, or are we going to leave that to Grayson and Ermia?
Like
Sav, going to,
like, the gray bones and stuff.
Well, on
the in the floor.
So, guys, I mean, we should probably get on this. You can, and I point to Voron and Viesa. Like, so, sorry, to Grayson and Viesa. Like, if you're going looking for these bones, like, I'm really not feeling good. I need to get to this Lady Fiona Twacker. So,
okay,
whatever you need to do, let's do it. And I'm just going to make for a door and, like, kind of, come on, Varun, we need to move.
Good guys, luck, my friends.
If there's any big commotion in the town, you can kind of guess what the epicenter is probably going to be. So maybe try to keep an eye out. And
I assume if there's any big commotion in the town, it's being caused by one of us, and the others should come running.
Exactly. Hopefully we don't run into any issues, and hopefully we'll all see each other at sunrise. Take care, friends.
Okay.
Take care, friends.
Scratching behind the ear.
One little cat paw. Yeah, like cat paw.
Okay, so Saf and Voron leave into the kind of light rain, which has become the staple, their feet sort of crunching through the slush and mud on the ground, and they disappear into the twilight darkness. Meanwhile, we've got Viesa and Grayson in this kind of sort of sanctuary at the back of the church. Who has the best investigation? Because I'll say that person will roll, but with advantage, it's like the other person's aiding them.
It's a bit of a mixed bag because I only have plus one to investigation, but if I'm smelling, I have advantage. So if I'm smelling, I'm good. But if we're looking at things and trying to piece together clues, it's going to be you.
Well, let's have you do the smell, and you can do that with advantage, and then Viesa can start looking for things and just do it with a normal roll. I think let's split that would work well.
Guidance
awesome.
You, and then I'll guidance myself.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm just going to basically jump down into the box where the bones were and start sniffing around and see if I can pick up a trail, basically.
Totally.
My high roll is 20. Oh, no, shit, I did that wrong. My high roll is 19.
19, I say. Well, 19, so you definitely... I mean, obviously, there's, like, the smell of dust and decay and something that hasn't been open for centuries, maybe a millennia. But what you do detect is a faint smell of fish, like someone who's been gutting fish and like lives on a staple diet of fish, and you do recognize that smell.
I have something.
What is it?
It reminds you of Milyov, the man that you've met both at the Hags. Old bone grinder, and just a moment ago.
We have all the proof we need already. This was Milyov. We must go confront him and get these bones.
Why
just give me your roll, Viesa. Okay. Did you find anything?
It was a 9.
So, where do you want to look? So, depending where you're looking, like, do you want to check out the door? Do you want to check out the area that's been broken? Do you want to kind of look in other areas? Where would your investigation be?
The area that's been broken into would be the first thing I'd look at, and then I would look around the room, but that's the thing that's been disturbed, so it looks like the freshest.
Okay, so you find what seems to be like a twisted fish hook. Like not like a really delicate thing that we might use today, but like something made of iron that's about 3 inches long, and it's been twisted so it's jagged and makes like a zigzag. And it's been, like, discarded to one side and just seems a bit odd.
I'll use, part of my clothing to kind of pick it up. And, does it look like a talisman of something? Or does it look like a message?
It's like an old fish hook. Oh.
Did someone leave it as a message? Did someone leave it because they dropped it? And it's one of their... things they do in their magic.
Like, did she pull it out from under a pew, or is it like laid upon the altar with the light on it? You know what I mean?
It was so there's like steps leading up to the altar, and it was like just on the edge of one of those steps, like it had maybe fallen out of a pocket or something like that.
Okay.
Do either of you have a sleight of hand at all?
Yes, sleight of paw.
Sleight of paw. Okay, if you give me a sleight of hand roll, I might be able to tell you more.
23.
Nice.
Okay, it looks like it has been bent to form a crude lockpick.
Was this area locked? Was this box locked?
The box wasn't, but someone had broken into the cathedral and had to have got in that way.
All right, okay. So we have a fisherman who... uses a fish hook to open lock. He may as well have left a calling card. Use a fish hold. There's a fish hook to open locks, and he reeks of fish, which I can smell from a mile away. Are you ready to help me arrest this gentleman?
Yes.
Bring him to... Well, maybe not bring him to justice. That's not really our job, but let's go get those damn bones.
Let's go get the bones. Let's go get the bones. Yeah.
Okay, so at this minute, Father Lucian comes in, and he sees that you've kind of been investigating, and he goes, "So, what have you found? Do you have any leads to follow up?"
"Yes, it is your honest, innocent man."
"No."
"Look, his wife and children are sick. What person do you know that wouldn't sacrifice anything to save those that they love?"
"That's true."
"Well, he lives on the grounds.
And he kind of like just goes to the door and kind of points out towards like a little shack just on the edge of the church's grounds by the gardens. That's where he is. Be careful and be gentle with him. He is a good man at heart."
"He may have been compelled to do so. He may have been threatened to do so. We don't know. But someone in a dire situation, if you say he's a good man, I believe you. So let's go see what might have made him do this and see if we can get the bones back for you."
"Agreed."
"Excellent, excellent. Let's go then."
And he starts kind of like hurrying you out. Can you both give me a quick insight check?
Sure.
This is going to be like Scooby-Doo, and we should have seen if he was wearing a mask the whole time.
The whole time.
17.
14.
So you're not sure, but Grayson, you're absolutely sure that he is trying to get you to leave. Although he does seem genuinely like worried for Miliov and impressed with your detective skills. And you kind of cock an ear to the side and you think that somewhere in the cathedral you can hear an absolutely gorgeously melancholy, sad lullaby coming from the direction that the kids left a few hours before, like up during one of these little side passages that leads up into the church, like to a second floor. And you do not believe that this singing voice sounds like the children, like it couldn't come from the children. It's too mature.
I'm not sure if I'd... Yeah, I think I might listen to that, but not necessarily mention it, because it doesn't seem too far out of reality for a church. Like, wow, they have a really good singer, right? And yeah. I think I would just continue on. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't hear that at all?
Give me a listen check. I'm kind of... Because Grayson has an advantage to listening, but you can definitely give me a roll.
Cat ears that I can point towards sound.
What would a listening roll...
So it's it goes under perception.
My passive perception is 17.
Sorry, I play too much Call of Cthulhu. Wow, okay, so you definitely hear it as well.
Nice.
Okay. And it sounds, beautiful and sad and melancholy, like...
Oh, that's lovely. I try to start kind of humming along because it's so lovely. I'm trying to learn it in my head. But let's go see what... Who is singing that?
There's no one singing. You must be imagining. This old cathedral has a
drafty.
Drafty, yes, yes, exactly.
Yes.
Grayson squints and then turns to you and says, "You know, I forgot back in the wagon my bag and my pillow. Do you mind grabbing it while we get these bones?" And he kind of like looks up towards where the song was coming from.
So, yes, I will go get the bag. Absolutely.
The bags
are what we need. The bags are
I
that's
absolutely
a good idea.
So good.
That's so good.
Thank you.
Where is my mind? my head wasn't on.
Pause
I'll
up.
Be right back. Pause up.
Pause up. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Now, sir, these bones.
I don't think your bags could be through here. Have you maybe in the main room?
I must have put them down somewhere. Let's get these bones before they get lost. This is the most important task. Come.
Very true, very true.
And he would start like kind of clawing at the rope.
So yeah, as you kind of like turn to leave, you might notice from the corner of your eye, Father Lucian like sort of sagging and sighing for a moment as if he's kind of like got away with something and is really, kind of sigh of relief.
In his head, he's like, "God, those guys are stupid."
Just pat his hand before I go, like, totally gotcha.
So you head off towards Miliov's hut at the back of the church grounds. Meanwhile, Saf and Voron have been making their way through the town. It does seem very empty and fog-filled, and you do get this kind of aura of menace coming from the fog itself, as if you're being watched at every turn. Every now and again, you kind of are passed by a group of guards marching through the town, sort of kicking up mud and slush in all directions, and they all kind of look at you with evil eyes and curious about your... what you're doing and where you're going, but none of them stop you and they soon disappear into the fog. It doesn't take long for you to arrive at the Wacta House. This house... Go on.
That was handy. We never asked.
I was going to say that. I was going to be like, so Seth, we probably should have asked that priest where
Fiona lives. I was going to make the exact same role-playing joke. I was like, man, we should definitely check what's the deal with this Wacta House,
because I don't know where it is. Him.
I thought the exact same thing. We've done. Just, I look at me.
The
going,
two of us walking in the street like a couple of idiots. It's like,
where should we go?
Where are we going?
Oh, look over here. It says Estate the Wachter. That's probably the place.
Check it out. Let's go.
As we are walking, Joe, just because I've kind of peeled back the wrapping on this lovely gift from Morgantia, can I do an Arcana check on her? Have we done that already?
Transmutation magic. Magic.
So yeah, I think transmutation magic, like it glows with a blue light.
I have a good history of opening jars. What's the worst that could happen? Let's keep walking.
I'm just like keeping an eye on Saf the whole way, just like, don't you dare. You already feel like you're burning. Stop it now.
So as you do walk through town, you do see a number of rotting wolf heads are on like poles. As if they've been there for at least a week. And you also see a few of these posters advertising the Festival of the Blazing Dragon, which is tomorrow lunchtime, is when it's due to be. I can read it again if you want, if I can find the thing.
That would be nice.
Maybe I can't.
And this is by the Wacta residents or on the way to
Wacta residents? No, these are just kind of on the street, sort of like pasted onto the walls. And you kind of notice as well that... they're pasted over other posters as if there are many, many, many festivals. And if you peel away one, there'd be another one. Peel away another one, there'd be... like episode of Friends where Joey's got VD.
Now with Morganeria, erectile dysfunction.
I don't know that episode. Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember that one either.
He has like a Subway poster ad.
Oh, wait, he didn't have VD. He was the actor.
Okay, that's so right. It reads, "Come one, come all, to the greatest celebration of the year, the Festival of the Blazing Dragon, attendants and children required. Rain or shine, all be well. The Baron."
Is there like a spell on the poster
required?
So that everyone who reads it in that voice?
Yeah, magic mouth. Music as well.
It's like Harry Potter or something like that, like it's moving posters and stuff.
Totally.
Trying to put on a show, guys.
And I'm trying to ruin it, Joe.
we're trudging along. We see this poster. We take note of the Blazing Dragon Festival. Children attendance required.
Yeah.
And so we come up in the Wacta residence at this point. So like, is this? I assume this is like a state, because she's called Lady Wacta and she's like trying to overthrow the government or the monarchy, burgomaster type thing. What's the kind of lady land?
Let me find
state?
You the description, and I will say, the house seems disgusted with itself. A slouching roof hangs heavy over furrowed gables, and moss-covered walls sag and bulge under the weight of the vegetation. As you study the house's sullen countenance, you hear the edifice actually groan. Only then do you realise the extent to which the house hates what it has become. So it's a large, two-floored manor. It hasn't got an estate as such, like it hasn't got a gate or a fence around it, but it does have like a grounds as such, but not big ones. It's kind of like a townhouse.
Voron, look, we need to deliver this to this Lady Wachter, who doesn't seem like, the best citizen with the whole, anarchy and rebellion and screwing.
Also considering the hags wanted you to drop something to her doesn't really make me trust her that much either.
Exactly. I want to deliver this and I need to deliver this, but do you mind if let me take the lead in this. I don't know how much she knows about us. If she knows about us, does she just think someone's going to deliver this?
Maybe you go to deliver. I'll hide back here somewhere.
Yeah, just follow my lead.
Do you want me to come with you to the door, or do you want me to hide?
No, just hang around the street, hide, like just.
I'll stay on the street and act like
unsuspicious as a zombie okay. Boy can.
Sounds good.
Just give me one quick second. So I'm wearing this weird hat, and I have like my backpack, and my disguise kit is in it. I'm gonna basically just take a quick second to try and. Basically draw a kind of little emblem onto my little travelling coat I have, and basically I'm going to make it look like a courier service, effectively.
Okay.
And I'm going to go up and basically pick up the large wooden knocker, for lack of a better term, on the door, and Niall's definitely going to laugh at that, and basically just knock on the door to see if I can get someone there.
Okay.
And as I'm knocking, it's like Silverwing Pegasus service delivery for Wachter.
Okay, so at first there's no answer. Then as you kind of knock again and the heavy door knocker rings, echoes dully through the whole house, you hear some footsteps heading towards the door. And Voron, you kind of glance up and you're sure you see a tiny pale face gazing at you through an upper window, but it's gone before you can get any details. And that is where we're going to leave today's episode.
That whole time there, it was just like when Owen was delivering the package, I was just thinking of Blazing Saddles when he delivers the package to Mongo. He's like, delivery service, Mongo! And then Mongo opens it up and it blows up.
Well, thank you very, very much for playing. I'm Joe, and you can find me at HWR Podcast. If you're interested, I currently have a Call of Cthulhu scenario on DriveThruRPG. You can find it by searching for the Idol of Thoth. Guys, how can we, guys and women, can we have guys as a gender neutral thing? Like a
dudes is gender neutral, guys isn't,
totally,
but dudes
is.
Dudes, where can everyone find you, and is there anything going on with you that you'd like to share? Let's start off with Owen. Where can everyone find you, Owen?
Everyone can find me on Twitter at HowWeRollOwen or on our Discord. And if you want an invite to our Discord, guys, just message myself or Joe on Twitter. We have a good community of about 60 or 70 people there.
There's more now. We're well over 100 now.
Oh, there we go. It's huge, guys. Get on it quick before it's too popular to be cool. But look, I'm on our Discord every day. I'm on Twitter every day. If you want to flame me, ask me advice, you know, just tell me how terribly I did. That's where you can get me.
Niall, where can everyone find you?
You can find me in Vancouver, British Columbia. Other than that, I'm not really on any social media things, so I apologise, people. That's all.
You're on Discord.
Oh, well,
I'm on Discord
too, yeah.
Just to play me, you reply to no fans. It's like, just screw you on every time I type something.
Because the answer is don't.
Yeah, don't find me.
Yeah, where can we find you? Do not find me.
You'll only
on the podcast.
Don't say that to the internet. That's the worst thing you can say to the internet.
Don't find me. No, it's not that. It's just that you'll be disappointed in what you find. It's just shambling alcoholic, really, Niall.
Lisa, where can people find you? Is there anything you'd like to share?
You can find me on Twitter at Lisa Bell, LISABELLE. Yes, there are two I's. And it's way before I got to LA. And
now that she's in LA, both have hearts over them.
And a star at the end. And, yes, yes. And Cantata Pansophicals album drops February 23rd. It is the Critical Role fan album. Sung to the tune of Hamilton, because we are nerds.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And it will definitely be out when this is now a podcast, so I'll put the link in the show notes when I can.
Yeah, yeah.
I should.
It's all free. It's free on iTunes, free on download, so it's free.
Awesome.
And if you want to find more about that, then check out the interview we did with Lisa Lee. Rolling with Lisa Lee came out, well, probably now, months ago. Check it out.
Six weeks ago, yeah.
Rob,
what you're calling the interviews? Rolling with? That's good.
Yeah,
I like
that. Rolling with different
that
people.
That works.
Rolling with Chris Perkins, you know, yeah. Rolling with Matthew Mercer. Yeah, they're all coming to the show.
Someday.
Exactly.
Rolling with
Vin Diesel is the end game. As
what, Vin Diesel?
He's a famous D&D nerd. He financed his own D&D movie that was apparently terrible.
Rolling with Vin Diesel sounds like a movie Vin Diesel would
awesome.
Have been in.
It's either a prequel
awesome.
Or a sequel to Fast and the Furious.
Yes, exactly.
Aram, where can people find you and anything you'd like to share?
I would say that The easiest place to find me is on Twitter at Vartian, V-A-R-T-I-A-N, and I am releasing podcasts with my new podcasting collective, which is neonrival.com. And we have a bunch of different things we're working on there, so just check us out.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to help us keep going and can spare even a dollar, please visit patreon.com/howweroll podcast. Your support helps us fund our hosting, upgrade and even replace some equipment, pay for new music or sounds, and it even helps me justify to my wife the probably dozens of hours I spend each month keeping the show running. Before we go, I want to thank everyone who's thrown us an iTunes review. This week we've been blown away by your kind words, and we've actually swept past our target of 100 reviews. So thank you Keith, Lorana, Jojo81085, Foxworks, Dark Siege Shakes, Deus Ex Machina, Steining Scheiss, Des SKWire, and Kren01. You've really made our week, so thank you so much. As always, I want to say a huge thank you to BattleBard. You should definitely check them out at battlebards.com for music and sound effects. We'll be back at the same time next week, so until then, take care.